The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. I've been reading a book about translation. Its author, David Bellos, is the director of a program at Princeton University whose graduates might get work in international legal firms, as interpreters at the UN, or in translating blockbuster novels. Bellos' book is called Is That a Fish in Your Ear? Referring to the babblefish of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which people could stick in their ear and be able to understand language spoken by anyone. In college, I learned that a machine like a babblefish could only exist in science fiction, because linguists and mathematicians had shown how it's impossible to encode all the rules of a language in a way that can be made available to the machine. The broad rules are easy enough, and you can list special nitpicks to account for the fact that you can say both the pen is in the box and the box is in the pen in English, but the nitpicks don't ever mesh perfectly together, and sooner or later, probably sooner, the machine makes a blooper that's so ridiculous that the whole translation isn't credible. That's how the whole idea of machine translation, which held great promise in the 50s and 60s, fell by the wayside. You just can't write a computer program for turning English into Japanese. Are you thinking, perhaps, that someone forgot to tell Google that? Or that Google is so arrogant they don't treat theoretical impossibility as a limitation? Maybe Google technicians are so hip and smart they did figure out how to stick the full grammar of a language into a machine. None of the above. Bellos explains that Google Translate works because it relies on what Google does best, searching. When you write something in English or any other language, it won't be English if it's made out of linguistic units that have never been used in English before. So, to translate, Google mines already translated internet documents, looking for linguistic units contained in the original, and matches them with how they've been translated into the target language. This wouldn't have worked in 1962, when there wasn't an internet to speak of and the science of digital archiving was embryonic. Today, at a bare minimum, Google can access all of the documents of the European Union, which exist in 24 languages. They can search everything written by the UN and its agencies, which is out there in 6 languages, along with corporate reports, legal proceedings, literature, and anything else individuals, groups, agencies, and organizations have put up in more than one language. Processed through Google's proprietary statistical methods, the translation Google makes out of phrase matchings are better than not bad. Bellos says, wait a minute. Think harder. What if an Icelandic person wants to read something written in Farsi? Google won't be able to find enough already translated documents to put side by side in Farsi and Icelandic to make a new translation. Not a problem. Google will rely on what's called a pivot language, which could be English, although other globally popular pivot languages include German, Arabic, and Russian. At any rate, to translate from Farsi to Icelandic, Google Translate will look at documents that exist in English, which have also been translated into both Farsi and Icelandic, and then make the translation in 2 steps. And what kind of documents might those be that exist in English, Farsi, and Icelandic? Stuff from the UN, of course, but that's not going to help much with street slang or pillow talk. Not to worry. Think of all the detective novels, romances, and fantasy whose book jackets tout the number of languages they've been translated into. Plenty of them exist in English, Icelandic, and Farsi, even if they were originally written in Swedish. So, when a Brazilian student writes to a pen pal in China, or a Senegalese manufacturer researches potential markets in Indonesia, that communication could be taking place on the backs of John Grisham, Danielle Steele, and Harry Potter. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.